nations, for you are the Lord above, the one who calms the wind and waves and makes my heart be still. Though the earth gives way, the mountains move,
screen, because all we see is a white outline, and just looks, I know it's my old eyes, but it looks really blurry from up here.
Up there you have black words highlighted in white, but that's on a black screen, so I don't know if you can change that back screen to just plain words and have the front screen different, but. Okay. And should we be getting sound on all this? Because there's nothing coming out of here. Yeah, I can.
Oh, every knee. above the heavens, the earth in all creation, bow before you. Crying holy, all surround you. Forever you will stand. Your kingdom has no end. O holy God, I stand amazed. You are so much more than words. past to bow. Confusion has been allowed. When you seek, mountains rise and fall. It tears down every wall around me. When you speak, you breathe upon the dust. You come alive in us. When you speak, you silence every fear. We feel your spirit here.
I know I've done this before, but I'm actually going to really encourage you strongly to all move up. Just a couple rows. Come on. Come up a little bit. Yeah, Mr. Jeff did, so there you go. All right. I know it's awkward, but this is family. There you go. Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go. I wasn't expecting that close, but I'll take it. All right, there you go. Awesome. Well, I appreciate it. Wow. We have that on recording, right? That's like once. It's awesome. Good. All right. I will move back a little bit, so I won't. You won't be there. All right. Well, it's good to see you all here this morning, and I know it's holiday weekend, so I know there's a lot of our family that's out camping and having a good time and enjoying the beauty of our state. So, we will pray that they continue to have a great morning this morning. So, let's just open with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can just come here, and we just thank you that we can be the family when. I love how your scripture says where two or more are gathered, you're in their midst with them. And Father, I know let's talk about other things as well, but Father, we know that even by ourselves, you're with us. And so, Father, I pray in this morning as we are in this place in your house of worship, that we would just really feel your presence, that we would just really feel like a connected family in the midst of our lives. It's our normal lives that we go through, the things that we are walking through with, whether it's family or relationships or jobs or whatever things that's going on, Father, we know that we can rely on you. We know that we can trust in your strength and your love and your power and your wisdom and your might and everything that you are. We have that to draw on to not just get through our lives, but to live our lives full and free and amazing. Always thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship.
every chain will break. His broken heart today is free. Look at the Lord.
You are the Lion and the Lamb. Lord, we stand amazed at who you are, of what you've created us. You've created us in your image, Lord, and we thank you for that. May we continue to become more like you every single day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Throne above the heavens,
Silence, every fear, feel your fear.
deep cries out to you deep, we will see God. Hear your glory on display, Jesus, take your place, we will see God. Now your everything we see as deep cries out to
before you and we will quiet ourselves. Remove all distractions. And we would seek your face today. Lord, as the other song that we sang talked about, that when you speak, darkness has to bow. Confusion has its final hour, Lord. We declare that in this place today. We declare that your light, let it just shine in the midst of this world, in the midst of the tension, in the midst of everything that everybody is facing, Lord. Let your light shine through. And may you reign over all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's good to see you all this morning. Some people could still be in a food coma, too, from yesterday. I don't know. That might be part of it. So, well, it's good to see you guys. It was a beautiful day yesterday. I know there's lots of people having good times with family and friends, and that was great. And remembering Independence Day of our country, but greater than that is the independence that we have because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. And I'm a big patriot and a bigger believer of our country, but at the end of the day, I understand that I am just a person just journeying through this life, and this is not my country of origin, not the country that I'm going home to someday. So I'm looking forward, hopefully not too soon, for that day, but it's great to be able to celebrate that. So we are in 1 John chapter 2. We're still there. We've been there for a while. And I'm really excited about, again, what Father is going to talk to us about this morning. So if you would, turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, or if you have your smartphones, iPads, or I believe it's on the screen behind me as well. Also, I forgot to give you the other scripture, but I know you're going to be good enough to catch up. So it's really good when you have good tech people. They can just, run with it, and they're so used to me not giving them with all they need. So just continue to be praying for them. They need it. So we are in 1 John chapter 2. We're going to jump back to verse 21. I know we covered that a little bit last week, but it's going to flow more into what we're looking at this morning. So 1 John chapter 2, starting verse 21. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. I write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. And again, we talked about a little bit last week, just kind of in passing, because we were focused on another area last week. But it's fascinating to me that as a believer, as a child of God, when we're studying, when we're in His Word, it says right here, I don't write to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. When we're wrapped up into what Father is saying, we can know the truth. And as I was thinking about that, again, in the world, and again, we've said it so many times, the world doesn't believe there's an absolute truth. And in the situation in which we find ourselves, it's like it doesn't matter which side of the discussion you fall on with all the things that are happening, and even inside the church, it's fascinating to me how much the situation we've been in the last 4 months has divided even the church. Even just in general conversation, it's not even a theological issue, although people make it so. Right? And I'll stay off it because I get too wound up about it. But it's just, it really bothers me that inside the church that we get divided about this thing. And again, I'm not minimizing what's happening. I'm not minimizing. I have my own thoughts and views on it. But I'm not minimizing. That's not a real thing. Right? But I think it's been so fear-driven from day one that we've lost sight of what the truth is. And I think the enemy has come and used this whole last four, going to 5 months that we've been dealing with this craziness.
to divide the church. That he's gotten in, is like, man, I know what your Bible says, but look at what's right in front of you. Look at all the things that are happening. Look at all the confusion that's out there. There can't be this absolute truth. You can't stand here and say, here is a truth. And I can say, absolutely, there is. And I keep going back to the truth of God's word. It has nothing to do with the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Because if I focus on that, then I'm going to get all fearful. I'm going to get worried. I'm not going to trust that God's got it under control. I'm not going to be like, you know what, but look what everything's, what's being said. Look what's being said on Facebook. There's a place for absolute truth, right? It's the worst place to go for any kind of truth. Because it's a place for opinion. Right? And it's funny because I was talking to some older generations where, and somebody posed a question to me and I never thought about it. Saying, when was the last time the news just reported the news and didn't tell you what to think? I was like, ooh, that's a good question. And, you know, years ago, we didn't have the Facebook where everybody could spew whatever they wanted to any day or night, and people would get wound up about it. Right? That's why I encouraged a couple weeks ago that we as children of God, our opinion really doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Even if it's a good thought, it doesn't really matter. In the world in which we're living, we as the children of God, we as the church of God, need, if we're going to post things on Facebook or whatever medium we want to do that, if that's your thing, post Scripture. Post what God says. And let Scripture speak for itself. Let the Holy Spirit convict people. Because, again, I'm not saying that we don't ever have a place to come in and say things that are true, but we have to be able to speak truth and pull our opinions, pull our feelings, pull our emotions out of it, and that's really hard. Because I have my right to say whatever I want as an American, right? Yes and no. Yeah, I know. Right, but here, there's no lie of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? So here again, we can come strip it all down to, here's the truth. Jesus is the Christ. We talk about end times, if you're into the end times, and we hear about the Antichrist, and you know, I won't get down that road too far, but you know, there might be this person in time, and I can see that, where there's one person in time, and where the world's really set up for the Antichrist right now. Right, I'm not going to get too far in the end times right now, but I'm just saying, if any time to step in and have one person go, I have all the answers and I can calm all your fears. Wow, what an easy place to step into in a world that's in chaos. Right? But here's a definite of Antichrist. So what is the Antichrist? He who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. That sounds really basic. It sounds really easy, and it is. You guys have heard me say countless times, I'm just a simple pastor. I'm going to just preach the word and let the Father and the Holy Spirit speak to you, because as we looked at last week, the Holy Spirit, that's his job. That's not my job. My job isn't to convict you. My job is to just preach the word and let the Holy Spirit convict you. So if you're convicted by something that I say, unless it's my opinion, then you can be offended by that and we can have a conversation. But if you're offended because the word of God is convicting you, that's the way it works. And that's a beautiful thing, right? And it's not easy, but here's the thing. That's what I love about the simple truth of the word of God. He clearly spells it out. I don't have to guess about where I'm at. I don't have to guess about my relationship with Father. I don't have to guess when I read his word and when I hear truths from other people and they line up with the word of God, I don't have to guess that's the truth of God's word. I don't have to like it, but I don't have to guess that's the truth. And usually when I don't like something, it's because Father, most of the time, sometimes it's somebody's opinion that's winding me up, but most of the time, it's the truth of God's word that is convicting something that's in my life that I don't want to deal with. Because when I have to deal with something, it's uncomfortable. And I have to change, and I don't like change. I mean, I like some change. I like when other people have to change, and I can just sit there. But no, change is good for me. And I look back over the years, just in my marriage, where we were almost 29 years ago, about where I was first day of marriage and where I am almost 29 years later. I'm glad there's some change. I'm glad my wife isn't still married to this punk kid that she married. Yes, I was 21, but I was like 21 going on 12. you know, at times, right? And it was just like, I am so glad there was change and it wasn't all easy. And we walked through some deep, dark waters to get to that point. But it was to this point of like we committed to the truth of God's word. And we based our relationship, we based our marriage on what God says a marriage is supposed to be out of the truth of his word. I'll get stopped there because I'm going to start preaching on marriage and that's not where we're going this morning. All right. So very simple. You know the truth. If you're a child of God, you know the truth. And sometimes you know the truth, and if you don't know the truth. Because again, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and he will teach us all things. He'll bring to remembrance things that we didn't even remember reading. Like if you've read the Bible from front to cover, you have it in you. It's not memorized, but you have it in you. Now, I wish that I could quote you chapter and verse from beginning to end, and that would be awesome. I know there's people that have memorized the totality of the Word of God. That's a lot of time. It's a lot of commitment. I heard years ago the guy that did a lot of the earlier Hollywood movies on stories out of the Bible was not a believer, but he had the Word of God memorized. That's crazy to me. So, I mean, that was a story I heard years and years ago. Who knows what's happened to him? I just can't imagine having an encounter with the living God and his living word and not be changed. I hope and I believe that, you know, God worked on his life and that he came to a living relationship with him. So you know the truth. I don't write to you because you don't know, but because you know. And drop down to verse 24. Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us. Here's the promise. Eternal life. Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. And again, I think about that so often. I mean, some people come to Christ at a later date when they're adults. But I think when children, that's why we are so passionate about our children's ministry. That's why we're having VBS at the end of this month. And I think, as far as I know, we're the only church in the valley for sure that's doing a VBS. There's probably lots of reasons. I don't know what all the reasons are because I haven't talked to those particular churches. I would guess fear. I would guess what people would think of them having something in the midst of all this craziness. This is the time to have something where our kids can come and hear about God and hear about someone who loves them and have a plan, a purpose for their life. But I'm saying when these children come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and like that excitement that they have, man, I love little kids or younger teenagers or that when they come and they understand what God has done with them for them on that level, they are excited about it. And I have seen older, mature Christians beat that excitement out of them. Maybe not intentionally. It's like, oh yeah, just calm down. Don't be so excited. Right? They've been given life and they're excited about it. It's crazy to me when somebody gives their life to Christ that we're like, oh, golf clap, you know. It's like, great. This should be like, this is a life-altering moment. And we give it a little nod. When we have scripture that says the angels are going crazy, I'm paraphrasing, right? Every single time someone gets saved. Every time someone draws that breath of life at that moment of salvation, the angels go nuts every single time. All right, but let's say, what you have heard from the beginning, abide, let it abide in you. A couple of years ago, we looked at John chapter 15, where the vine and the branches abide. There's a lot about it in there. And that was in the early days of me speaking a lot, and I was like, all right, here's a good four-week, you know, sermon series, and it lasted almost a year. So I was like, this is awesome. But it was just like this whole thing about abiding, And it's really fascinating. I looked up that word. I love looking up the definitions of words. And some of it was very familiar. So this is out of the Webster's. I love using the Webster's, the old 18, whatever version of that is. Because because it always attaches scripture to the definitions. And so here's a by: to dwell, rest, continue, stand firm. And here's a term I hadn't heard thought about: be stationary for any time indefinitely. It gives a little more weight to abiding, this stationary anytime indefinitely. Well, that really defines a lot of our lives, right? We love to be stationary for long periods of time, right? Does that describe anybody in this room? I didn't think so. I know most of us like to be doing something. We feel like we're not producing. If we're not producing, we're not moving, we're not doing something, that we're, for some reason, we're not being effective for God. And sometimes we're so busy, God's like, okay, I guess you don't want to really talk to me today or in this moment. Guess because God pursues us to some level, but at the same time, again, as an earthly father, God is, I've learned so much about who Father is through my children. When they're so busy and they're just gone, I'm like, well, I'm not going to chase them down the driveway, especially now they're all driving and have friends and lives, and I see them as they pass through. Right? And that's good. It's wonderful, and that's the way it should be. I'm not complaining about that because there's times I love the peace and quiet. It's awesome. Right, but I don't think God ever gets to that point where he wants peace and quiet from us. I think he wants peace and quiet in this abiding place. And again, that's for us, not for him. I mean, I think it's for him a little bit too, but it's really for us to come in relationship with him and to sit down on the couch with him and just sit. But here's the thing, I think a lot of times, because I think that's why I really hear this verse, let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. I think so often when we sit in that place, when we finally get to that point, fine, I'm going to sit on the couch because I know God wants me to abide. He wants me to slow down. And then we sit there for about 10 seconds. Oh, I didn't hear anything, so I must be doing something wrong, right? Or he's not talking to me. He doesn't want to talk to me because he didn't say anything the first 10 seconds I sat there, right? He's like, dude, you stop breathing hard yet. You can't hear anything because the blood's still pounding in your ears, or you're not going to hear anything I have to say to you. Just relax. Just sit. Just be. If you all have read that book, the five love languages or whatever it is, sometimes that time is spent. Some people, that's not their love language. So when God says, come sit, that's not my love language. You can't tell me to sit and abide, right? But God's like, I know. Just come sit anyway. Come be with me anyway, right? Here's another definition: to be fixed are permanent in a particular condition. I tell you what, that definition right there is like, wow. I have been permanently fixed in a particular condition that wasn't good a lot of the times because I wasn't abiding in what I had learned from the beginning. I was abiding in the situation that was right in front of me. And it felt true. And it was true in the reality in that moment. But it wasn't true in the sense the emotions and the things that I was putting into it. And I was like, but God, you don't understand. We just sung a song about when you speak, you come alive in us. When you speak, he spoke the world into existence. And you've heard me say this many, many times. I'll keep saying, I believe he continues to speak and hold us together by the power of his word. I don't think it's just his written word. I think it's the continual reverberating sound of his voice that started the moment creation began. I believe it's still reverberating through our bodies in this moment, holding us together. That's what I believe. That's intimate. That's abiding in this place of like, wow, I have this amazing relationship with God. And I love in verse 25, and this is a promise that he made to us in this place of abiding, this place where we have the Father and the Son, and the place that, as we looked at last week, we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is a promise that he made to us that we have eternal life. We have eternal. Eternal life is a promise that he's given to us. We are created for our eternity. And here's the thing. Everybody's created for eternity somewhere. Is it going to be the place with Father? Or is it going to be that place of separation from Him? I can't imagine what that's like. I can't wrap my mind around being in eternity with Father in a good place. I like to imagine that and dream about that, and I've got a crazy imagination. But to imagine what it would be like to be eternally separated from Father forever and ever, and we think we understand what that term means, but we really don't. I want to abide where the Father is. And Psalm 91 gives us a really amazing picture. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 9. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. And even as I was reading again over that again this morning, it's like, wow, we could look at that and goes, really? I have had some pestilence come into my life. Right? I have had some bad things happen to me, so this verse is a lie. This scripture is a lie. No, it's not. Because I have to go back and remember what it's all about is my relationship with Father God is about. He didn't promise us as easy. His verses are saying you're not going to have hard times. But when I rest in that place in the shelter of the Most High, when I come under his covering, yes, even in those times when things are bad, and I had a conversation with a friend of mine recently talking about a piece of my life that he hadn't heard about before and shared in great detail this dark place of my life. Even in that place, as I recounted the story to him, I was in a place of freedom, man. That's where I walked. And even as I look back, and I've told that story to a close few people that know that story of my life in detail, every single time I'm in a place now where I say, I wouldn't change that from anything. As horrible as it was, as hard as it carved me out. And in that moment, I was in this place of like, well, I'm abiding in what God wants for my life. I was hanging on to anything I possibly could in those moments. But Father was there in that moment. I wasn't consciously thinking about remembering what I had heard from the beginning. I wasn't consciously remembering, like, you know what, you grew up in a Christian home. You were a pastor's kid. You were a missionary's kid. You were saved at an early age but didn't remember it or didn't have this security until you were 13. And I had this experience. That's my testimony was when I was 13. That's when I can remember the day. I remember what it smelled like, looked like on my uncle's ranch. So I wasn't thinking about those moments in that dark time, but I was still covered. I was still protected. And I was going through this crazy place. Because even in that moment, he was my refuge and my fortress. Because I look at that time, it could have been a whole lot. And that situation could have defined my life. And I tried for a little while to go, you know what? I know you called me into the ministry years ago, and I'm not, you know, that was part of my running years. And I could have set my feet in the ground and said, I will never serve you because of this. I could have made that choice. But he continued to, you know, care about me and love on me and talk to me. Even when I wasn't thinking he was, but he was. And those things that I'd heard from the beginning, the prayers of my mother and others in my life, that's so important, parents, grandparents, If your kids are out of the house, keep praying for them. They need it almost more when they're out of the house than they are when they're under your covering. Yes, you have no control over what they do, but Father has, still has influence, and we might have some, but here's the thing. Our job is to continue to pray and sit in that place with God and abide in his word and go, you know what, I'm going to continue to push into, I don't have any say in my kids' lives right now, but I'm going to just continue to push into who you are. I'm going to abide in your word. I'm going to abide in what you said. I'm going to abide in this place that, man, it's your job to take care of them. And that's a really easy thing to be, right, parents? To just release your children into the world, especially the world in which they're inheriting right now, not a good place. Just a couple other scriptures. John chapter 8, verse 31, 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And as I was reading through these scriptures the last couple of weeks, this has kind of been a continuation of the last couple of weeks, and it just struck me that abiding and truth go hand in hand. When I'm abiding in this place with Father, the truth is very evident. It's really easy to see the truth of what he's saying about his words. It's easy to see the truth about what he's saying about my life in the midst of the circumstances I'm in. It's easy to see the truth when things are going tough and I'm at odds with my wife from time to time. And when I'm abiding in that place, I can sit back and go, well, here's the pieces that are mine that I need to really look at. And the rest of it's not mine to deal with. And it's amazing over the years, my wife and I were talking just the other night, just about this is amazing place that God has us. Even after 29 years, he continues to reveal things to us about each other and our relationship, and it's this amazing place to walk. Why? Because we're on the same page, abiding in him, with him. And there's been times we weren't even in the same library building, much less the same page or book or room. Right? I mean, nobody else has been there. But we have been in that place. And you would think that it would take all this time to put those things back together, and it really doesn't. There's pieces of it that took some time. But then when we're both in this place of abiding, when we're both in this place of trusting Father, when we're both in this place of like, look, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's not just a catch cute thing saying that we use because we have made this into bumper stickers and posters and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that's necessarily inherently a bad thing, but Christians are so good about making a tagline instead of the power and the truth of what the word says. It's not just something, this is a powerful piece of scripture. Abide, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Every single time, in every circumstances that you will ever have in your life. When things get tough, and when I start fearing, and when I start worrying, it's time that I'm starting to learn when those things happen, it means I need to sit down, shut up, and abide in my Father, and he'll tell me the truth about what's going on. Instead of what I'm seeing with my physical eyes, and hearing with my physical ears, and experiencing with these emotions that he's given me, because my emotions can get hijacked really easily. Especially as an American. I have my rights. My rights. Somebody's tromping on my rights. Okay, now again, I'm all about American rights, but at the same time, they're not scripture. Right? Don't go too far down that road. I think there's some basis there. But we get so wound up in some of these things that we don't see the truth anymore. I'm going to finish these verses up just this morning. Verses 1 John 2, 26 through 29. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. I think that's a powerful verse that we need to look at just to hear. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you. But the anointing that you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in the shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that anyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. Again, we talked a lot last week about anointing. We've received that when we abide in this place. We come here for celebration. Hopefully you aren't coming here on a Sunday morning to be taught by me, because that's not the point of this. So if you're coming here and being taught by me once a week, you're going to be starving to death. I'm not saying there's not power in what's being spoken on every Sunday morning in our churches across our nation and across the world, but I'm saying if we're not constantly in relationship with Father, that little bit of feeding is not going to carry us very far. And we have the Holy Spirit, like we looked at last week, to remind us and teach us all those things. And it's very important, because we live and we have lived in a world that where we've had people try to deceive us and try to tell us about what God is saying or isn't saying. And it's not going to get any better. I would love for it to get better and not that to be true, have not that not be true. But there's always going to be people, unfortunately, even inside the church, that are trying to deceive us and say, tell Scripture to say what it's not saying. And that's why I'm really careful to just let the Holy Spirit teach you what his word is saying. Because when I speak, it comes from a place of what Father has talked to me about this week, or talked to me about over the last couple weeks, or whatever it is. So really, Sunday morning is just me kind of testifying through Scripture and what I believe he wants his children to hear. But I know, because I've talked to lots of people after services, and they heard something totally different that I didn't even say. Awesome. That means you weren't listening to me. You were listening to Father, and I will take that all day long. Now, if you fall asleep, that's a different conversation, right? The power of the living God. Abide in him. Know the truth of his word, and it will set you free. That's who you are right now. Whether you feel like it or not, you are free. Child, son, daughter of the living God, you are free. Because I believe Scripture says, whom the Son sets free is what? Is free indeed. Doesn't say anywhere in those Scriptures if you feel like it, does it? It's just an emphatic statement, you are free. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we can come to this place, not just in this building, but this place, this moment in time. And you have asked us to abide. And for some of us, most of us, it's really hard to abide, to sit and be quiet. And there's times, I believe, Father, you ask us to do that physically, just sit. And we got 14 million things that are on our mind that we got to get done, that we think we got to get done. And you're just like, yeah, I know you got all that to do, but come sit. And Father, I know in those moments when I've listened to that and I've sat and just in quiet, not with no agenda, because it's another thing I come to you with, Father, sometimes an agenda about all things I'm going to sit and talk to you about when I'm sitting. And you're like, no, I just want you to come and sit and be with me. And we may or may not talk about what's just on your agenda and on your list. And Father, when I've entered into that moment and that list got put aside, sometimes torn up and burned, what you have talked to me about in that moment was far greater than that list I had or that agenda that I had. And I was able to see the truth of the circumstances that in some ways were on those lists from time to time. So, Father, I pray as we step into our lives in the next few moments, in the next day, in the next month and weeks and years that we have to live here for you, that we never waste an opportunity to abide. I don't think it's just a moment of time where we have to go and go away. There are moments for those, Father, but to abide in the moment of our daily lives, to be in that sweet spot, if you will, with you, where in the midst of the craziness and the busyness of the lives in which you've called us to live, we can find that peace and quiet and solace because we understand to the best of our ability in that moment the truth of who you are in our lives. And may you continue to clarify our sight, take out the noise that comes into our hearing physically and spiritually, and that the only voice we hear above all things is yours, ringing clear and sweet in our ears. I thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to close with communion. I realize it's been, since we've done it collectively as a group, I know we've done it in our homes and stuff over the time. Since there's just so few of us this morning, I'm just going to serve us. We did change up our communion a little bit. We went to the prepackaged communion deals. So they would look like a creamer now. So they look like this, and there's two layers of cellophane. There's a really thin one that gets you into the cracker, and then the other one opens up to get into the juice. I will let you know that I looked at the ingredients. The little wafer is made out of flour, so if you have flour issues, just be aware of that. There you go. So I just want to let you know about that. And so we'll do communion here. So let me just pray one more time, and then we'll come up and take the elements. Father God, again, we just thank you that we can come to your house this morning. We thank you that we can just come and take communion and remember what it represents. Father, I pray in the next few moments that we would just...
Just as I...
And allowed your creation to crucify you. Because that was the redemptive plan. And I pray that we would just remember that afresh this morning as we take the elements. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, if you haven't been with us before, just come and take the one element now, and then just go back to your seat, and then we'll just take it as you get to that point where you're in that place and you've prayed or sat there and you're ready to take it, just go ahead and take it. There won't be like, we'll all do it together kind of thing. And then we'll close. The only requirements for communion for us is that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're like, well, on my first time coming here, that doesn't matter. We're not a closed, we don't do closed communion here. So as you're ready, come on up and take the elements.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee.
So I pray God's richest blessing on you today. And that you live in that place of freedom, that you live in that place of abiding, that you live in that place where you hear only the truth of God's word ringing in your ears. And as you hear it, speak it into those people's lives that need it. His truth. Not ours, not our emotions, not our opinions, his simple, life-freeing truth of his word.